This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I want you to go through the whole Quran with me. Join me at bayina.tv.
Inna alhamdulillah, alladhi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh, wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi, wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah, wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل إن الله نعم ما يعظكم به إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا اله الا الله اللهم اجعلنا من الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر امين يا رب العالمين. Last week I spoke to you about the first part of ayah number 58 of Surah An-Nisa. Allah Azza wa Jalla talked about the instruction that he gave that we should give trusts to those who are worthy of them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. And that principle, as I talked to you about, applies to personal situations, like sharing secrets with friends. Don't just go talking about personal matters to just anybody, but first understand, are they really worthy of sharing that and keeping that as a secreted trust? But it can also extend, of course, to the world of business, to the world of justice, to the world of, you know, our social dealings with each other. When you hand somebody a job, they should be the right person for the job. You know, it applies to even things like some of you are responsible in the company you work for. You're part of the human resources department. So you're the one who conducts the interviews for new potential candidate employees. But you know what Muslims do sometimes? When you're the Muslim HR guy, then you let your friend from the masjid know, hey, there's a job opening. I want you to apply. I'll hook you up. Because, you know, Muslims look out for each other. So you have a Christian candidate who's far more qualified, or you have a Hindu candidate who's far more qualified, but you're going to skip them because you got to look out for your own. Oh, you're from Hyderabad? I'm from Hyderabad too. We got this, you know? Or yeah, you look out for your countryman. You look out for the guy from your village. Or you look out for the person from the same religion. That's not fair to your employer. Your employer put you in that job, and your responsibility to your employer was that you should hire the person that's qualified for the job, not the person you have connections with. You're not supposed to shoo anybody in, Muslim or not. That's not how Islam works, you know. I've given you the silly example before of a student of mine. I used to teach Arabic at a college who failed. The only student I failed was a Muslim. And when he failed, he came to me and said, but I'm Muslim. Why'd you fail me? I'm Muslim, you know. And I said, well, that, assalamu alaikum, you're Muslim. But you didn't do any of the exams and you didn't do the homeworks and you messed up, so you failed, you know. And in his mind, well, you're going to, you know, pass the kuffar and you're going to get a fellow believer. Yeah, I am, yes, because that's what's fair. Because you give the amana to those who are entrusted with it. So whatever job you have, the moment you start giving responsibilities to those who can't be trusted with them because of whatever bias of yours, then it's a violation of إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. But anyway, more of those examples were part of the khutbah last week. And I mentioned that I'll talk to you about the latter part of this ayah now, which is the subject today. وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّا يَعِذُكُمْ بِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. So that's the rest of this ayah. Let me translate that for you. And when you judge between people, I'll make it super simple. When you judge between people, that you judge with justice. That's the phrase. That's the first part of this phrase that we're going to talk about today. When you judge between people, that you judge with justice. The first important phrase or wording in this ayah, because Allah's wording is very precise. He didn't say, if you judge. He said, when you judge. Now there's a difference between saying if and saying when. When you say if,
Like if I go to the airport, or if I go to this office, or if I go to this restaurant, I'm going to order that food. When you say if, there's a chance I'll go, there's a chance I won't go. That's what if means. But when you say when I go, I'm going to order this, this, or this. That means you've already made up your mind. It's going to happen. You understand? So when Allah says when, إذا, as opposed to saying in, which means if, He's saying every single one of you and me are actually going to be in a position where we have to make judgments. We have to judge between people. You don't have to be a judge sitting in a courtroom to be a judge. You don't have to be the head of the household to be the judge. You don't have to be in charge of other people to be the judge. Sometimes you just hear an opinion or you hear news about someone and immediately you pass a judgment, right? We make judgments all the time. We make judgments every single day about other people, about ourselves, about all kinds of situations. And so Allah Azza wa Jal is now giving us, first and foremost, this notion that Allah is not just talking to judges or court scenarios. Allah is talking to every human being because every single one of us, especially believers in this context, believers are going to be put in a position where they have to make judgments and verdicts. And He says, إِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. So when you're going to make judgments between people, when you're going to pass verdicts between people, then He says, أَنْتَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. And I translated this as that you will do justice, or that you will make judgments using justice. Okay, so now, this idea, أَنْتَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ, is a little bit different from أَنْتَعْدِلُوا. أَنْتَعْدِلُوا could mean, and you'll be fair. The wording could have been much more brief. Or أَنْتُقْسِطُوا, you'll be fair. But Allah says, أَنْتَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. What that does is that you will make judgments, and other people will make judgments, but they will use other things. But you will use justice. In other words, when we pass judgments on people, there are other things at play. And you're going to have to remove all of them, and the only tool you can use is adl. Right? Because for some people, it will be race that will be at play. For some people, it will be their own experience that will be at play. Let's just give you a simple example. You know, a lot of people, when they have a lot of free time, they watch things, you know, daytime courtroom drama, like, you know, Judge Judy type stuff, right? And they love to watch somebody get humiliated and not heard or yelled at or whatever. But imagine a scenario where there's something like a divorce court, right? And the judge himself went through a divorce. So the guy went through a rough divorce and he lost everything. And now there's a court case in front of him and there's a, you know, guy, a man and a woman that are getting divorced. He doesn't see a man and a woman. He sees that woman, he sees his ex-wife who took everything. And he's going to wreck her in this case because in his head, he's already made a judgment based on his own experience. His own personal experience is now tainting his opinion of how he should judge this case, you understand? So that's actually him utilizing his personal experience, his anecdotal experience, as opposed to justice. But he has the title and he can use the law. Just because you're using the law, you don't have to be just. I mean, people that have dealt with lawyers know that. They say, what do you want to win? If nobody says, I'm going to a lawyer to get justice. They say, I want to win this case. And the lawyer says, well, you want to be fair? No, I just want to win this case. Like sometimes when you go to a crooked accountant, they don't say, hey, I'm going to do your taxes. They say, how much you want to pay in taxes? You know, because... because the idea being that I'm going to make this work legally, there are loopholes I can use. Our concern isn't justice, our concern is getting you what you want. Right? That's our primary concern. Then you put justice aside. So sometimes we make judgments and other factors, other motivations are at play. But Allah says the motivation that needs to be at play is justice itself. So now let's talk about justice, because we're going to talk about it in four ways, four dimensions of it. The word adl is being used. There are other words in Arabic for justice, but the word that's being used in this ayah is al-adl. إِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. The word adl actually comes in Arabic from the word idl. And idl was, you know, in old times they didn't have like cars with big trunks and, you know, vans and trucks and things like that. Their truck was a camel. That's what they had. And, you know, the camel is pretty skinny on top, so you can't keep loading stuff on top. It'll fall off. So what they used to do is put a bunch of luggage on one side, tie it to a rope, and equal weight luggage on the other side so it can carry the whole load. Because they can't, if they can't put that all that stuff on top, because they don't have flat trunk space on the camel. So they've got to put weight on both sides and tie it together. Now obviously if one side is heavier than the other, then it's going to tip over. Or it's going to hurt the camel, because it's going to have more pressure on one side of its body than the other. So the two sides have to be the same weight for it to be able to walk. You understand? So one side of that, when it's equal in weight to the other side of that, that's called a'idl. And from it came the idea of things being balanced, or things being of equal weight, of things being scaled. And obviously you're familiar, if you go to any courtroom in the world, or any symbol of justice, if you even like Google image justice, right? What are the images associated with justice? You'll see maybe a blind lady holding a scale and the scale's balanced, or you'll see just a scale and things are balanced. The idea of things being equal measure is associated with justice, right? So now let's think about that for a moment. What does it mean that when you and I make judgments, that we make them with justice? The first of them I already kind of alluded to. If you have any kind of bias, if you have any kind of bias, somebody could have a bias towards Muslims, somebody else could have a bias towards non-Muslims. You could say, oh man, this judge, he hates Muslims and he went after me or whatever. But it could be a Muslim society and it's a Muslim judge and he hates Hindus and there's a Hindu guy standing in front of him and he goes against him because he used his bias against Hindus to make that judgment. So if it's a personal bias based on religion, it's a bias based on race, it's a bias based on economic class or gender or personal experience, because sometimes in our families, you have six kids, you can't even remember their names, but you know one of them you like more than the other. When an argument happens, this one's, you're always favoring this one, never that one. Why can't you be more like him? No, if there's a fight, you must have done something wrong, because you already have a bias, you're kind of leaning towards one of them, so the other one gets the shorter end of the stick every time. This is a bias, which means one side weighs heavier than the other. So you can't have justice. So the first problem with justice is bias, is actually bias. And we have to check ourselves, ask ourselves, are we people of bias? I'm reminded of a famous story of the time when Umar radiallahu anhu served as the Supreme Court judge. And a great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ali radiallahu anhu, had a disagreement with a Jewish man. And they had a case about some money and that was owed. And they came to, some assets that were owed. And they came to Umar radiallahu anhu, and of course, the job of a judge is to hear both sides. So he asks both sides, what happened? And so he asked the Jewish man and he told his story, And then he turned to Ali and said, Amma anti Aba Hassan? Father of Hassan? What do you say? Aba Hassan means father of Hassan. And that's a nickname. Ali said, wait, hold on. When you called him by his actual name. You called me by a nickname, you're biased. We don't want your judgment, thank you. And he left. Because he was a little bit soft, even in the way that he addressed him, right? And they were sensitive to that, because they understood something. They understood that even that much can tilt the scales, and I don't want to mess with that. I want to be absolutely fair. I want to be absolutely 100% fair. Can you imagine? This idea that there's somehow any bias can make its way in a judgment that will go in my favor. That will go in my favor. And what do people do nowadays? When you're about to be judged, in criminal societies, then you want to bribe the judge, or you want to, if there's going to be, dad says, I'm going to decide who I'm going to, give the car to, I'm going to make a decision. That night you decide to massage dad's feet, You're trying to skew the judge's opinion in your favor in some way at that point, right? And that's the first problem when justice goes away. When you are making verdicts between people, do not let anybody do you favors. Do not let anybody tilt your scales. Like, a common example of that in capitalist society, in modern society, is lobbyists. Because you have, for example, you have a physician who should be prescribing medication that they believe is in the best interest of their patient. But the pharmaceutical company comes to them and gives them some free pens and hands them a vacation package and gives them these deals and gives them all these incentives and says you're going to get this much back, cut back, and now they're prescribed, they didn't do their research, they haven't done any homework, and don't worry about it, if there is a lawsuit, our lawyers will take care of it, the insurance company tells them. The pharmaceutical company. So now they're going to prescribe medication based on a bias, not because they think it's in the best interest of their patient. That's the first problem. And this happens in the school system with teachers. This happened, you know, there are school systems in this country, public school systems, where teachers will not get a promotion if their average grades of the kids that are graduating aren't a certain amount, and they're not going to graduate from high school. So they give bumps to their grades so they can get promotions. That's a you're not doing these kids a favor. You're ruining them. But that this is the first problem of al-adl. And it can come in any part of your life. You have to identify where this applies. The second part of al-adl that I want to talk to you about today is in the proceedings themselves. When there's a dispute between two people, one person says, here's my evidence. The other person says, here's my evidence. One person says, here's my story. The other person says, here's my story. But how many times does it happen that somebody comes to you and says, man, that guy, Abdullah, is so messed up. What happened? Let me tell you. And he'll give you a whole story about Abdullah, except you don't know Abdullah, and even if you do, you're not going to call Abdullah and ask him, hey, what happened? And you don't want to hear Abdullah's side, and even if you hear Abdullah's side, you're going to go back to your friend and say, you know what Abdullah told me? Yeah, I don't believe him. Because you already made up your mind. You already tilted on one side. So there's an imbalance in the way that the proceedings happened. One side isn't even allowed to present its case. One side isn't even able to speak on its own behalf. One side's evidence isn't even admissible. No, we're not. We don't want to look at you. We already know. We already know everything there is to know. We don't have to look at your evidence. We don't have to look at your side of things. Then adl is gone. When you become one-sided, or when you, even if you hear testimony, when you hear someone say, this one said this, this, and this. Adl, balance means, okay, they said it. When did they say it? How did they say it? Why did they say it? What was said before it? What was said after it? A kid can come to you and say, oh, my brother, you know, Imad punched me. Oh, he punched you? Oh, that's it. I need justice. I have video too. And they can cut the video just to that punch, right? I had my sister record it. But wait, how'd she get to record it? You set him up. You kicked him first. That's the first part of the video I didn't see. Now you don't see that part. You see the part that you need to see to make your verdict, right? And what does media do today? They take a clip and then they create public opinion from a clip, and you don't know what's happening one minute before then and one minute after then. That's a lack of adl, because the evidence itself is skewed. And we're not looking at it in a balanced way. We're not looking at the entire picture. Then the third piece of adl, just to remind you, the first one was bias. The second one was skewed evidence or skewed testimony. The third is when you actually make the decision, when the judge makes a decision. Their decision could be either somebody should be compensated, right? There are damages, so they should be compensated, or somebody should be punished. They should pay damages. So there's either damages or there's compensation. That's basically what justice does. Who should pay damages? And what damages should they pay? And who should be compensated? And what compensation should they get? Adl means that when you punish, you go way too far in punishing. Your lack of adl. You know, somebody does some small crime and you throw them in jail for 30 years, 20 years. Does that happen in the supposed justice system? All the time. All the time. How do parents do that kind of injustice? A child is making a little too much noise, and the way you yell at him for 40 minutes is way more than any noise they ever made. And you just went way too far in punishing them for something that didn't need that kind of punishment. Overreacting, over-punishing. The same way over-rewarding someone for something damages that are owed, you took it from someone and you gave them way more back in damages, right? Unfair compensation. Over-the-top compensation. And by the way, when you forgive somebody, that's a subject matter, different subject matter. But if you're the judge isn't allowed to be generous. The victim is allowed to be generous. The victim can say, I forgive you. Or I don't want it. Right? That's the victim. But the judge can't say, no. Listen, victim, I'm forgiving him. No, that's not the judge's place. That's a lack of adl. And finally, and most importantly, There's a remarkable way that the Qur'an speaks. Here he says, أَنْتَحْكُمُ بِالْعَدْلِ, that you should make judgments with justice. Other places he says, you know, أَنْتَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. So you can make judgments, or أَنْتَحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. Make judgments between them, based on what Allah sent down to you, or bima araka Allah, in another place, based on what Allah showed you, the Prophet ﷺ. Allah is referring to the Quran itself. Allah is telling us something remarkable there. He's making an equivalent, a substitution between justice and Quran itself. If you really want to be fair, then you have to go to someone and you have to go to a constitution, you have to go to a set of rules that are not biased. Allah loves men and women equally. Allah loves parents and children equally. Allah loves governments and people equally. Like, Allah is not biased towards one over the other. To Allah, all human beings are children of Adam alayhi salam. Allah doesn't hate some and love others. Nobody can be more fair than Allah. You know, this is why alaysa Allahu bi ahkamil hakimin. Isn't Allah the most fair of all judges? So when we come to Allah's word, sincerely coming to Allah's word, seeking a judgment between people and ourselves, or between people, then nothing is more fair than Allah's word itself. That's actually the epitome of justice. The thing is, even after all of that, now having said all of that, this is the last thing I'll share with you. Human beings at the end of the day will always be imperfect. So even when two people come to you and they bring their evidences to you, we will never find a judge more fair than the Prophet ﷺ in humanity. Right? And people come to him and they bring a dispute to him. And one person makes their case and it's a very compelling case, and the other person's not a very good speaker. So they make a case, but it doesn't sound very, they sound nervous, they're sweating, so they already look guilty. But they're not sweaty because they're guilty, they're sweaty because they got nervous. That's not, being sweaty is not guilt. Well, you know what most people will say? I saw the video, he looked guilty. I know, that's the guilty sweat. You know? This is what people do. People say, no, look at his face, obviously. Really, you can tell, look at somebody's face and send them to jail? That's what you can do? So this is people's perception. The Prophet ﷺ hears two people, one makes a really good case, one is not very good at making their case. Nowadays, what could happen? Somebody got a really good lawyer, somebody got a lousy lawyer. Does it happen? And it could be that the law itself is fair. What's going to be more fair than the way in which the Prophet will judge, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by Allah's word? But even after he passed the verdict, he said, you know, in this world, you can even get me to be convinced of one side over the other. But Allah sees everything. So it could be that Sharia is applied, for example. The law of Allah is applied. You know, in the law of Allah, for example, you can punish somebody when you have a certain amount of witnesses, yeah? It could be that four people get together and say, we're going to falsely testify. Is it possible? Yeah? And they can come and falsely testify. And now somebody's being punished. Technically, Sharia is being implemented, but justice isn't. So you could actually use the word of Allah to do injustice too. Which is why the end of this ayah, Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّ يَعِذُكُمْ بِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Allah is giving you really good advice. However, you should know, certainly Allah, He is the only one that has always been all-hearing, all-seeing. Meaning even a judge can only hear so much. Even a judge can see so much. But Allah sees everything, hears everything, and even if a court gave you an unfair decision, that doesn't mean that this decision it's over. There's going to be a retrial on Judgment Day. There's another trial coming, and that one, you don't have to present the evidence. Allah will present the evidence. I saw it myself. I heard it myself. You don't have to bring a recording, it's already there. You don't have to bring the video footage, it's already there. All of it's already present. No small detail was left out. And then Allah will judge. And Allah will show His justice on Judgment Day. Now this is part, one of the names of Allah, Al-Adl, the balanced judge. That's one of Allah's names. You know, and so this ayah is giving us a very important principle to check in ourselves. Are we actually abiding by Allah's word when a certain situation comes up? Are we going back to the principles Allah has given us in His word? Are we biased in the way that we are looking at the evidence? Are we biased in the way that we are over-punishing or over-rewarding one over the other? And do we have biases ourselves before people even make their case? Are we holding a grudge against the other, or a favoritism towards the other without even realizing it? You acknowledge all of these things, then you and I can live by this ayah where Allah says, إِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمْ بِالْعَدْلِ. And this is not a small ayah, this is not a small rule in the Qur'an, which is why Allah included in this ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّ يَعِذُكُمْ بِهِ. Certainly Allah, what an amazing advice He's giving you right now. Like Allah added that into the ayah. What an amazing advice I'm giving you. It's not a small thing. So let's make a big deal out of this in our lives. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us fair in all of our dealings and make us people of adil and make us of those who don't have to experience a retrial in front of Allah where our unfairness is exposed. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim.